So I can't get the picture in my mind of an Apple party with nobody talking to each other.
It's crazy how much you can talk about work without talking about anything you do for work.
Hello, and welcome to Privacy is Awesome, a show all about the way that technology builds on and erodes our individual privacy and maybe hopefully protects it a little bit. I'm Mary Stone Ross, your host and privacy advocate. On this episode, we have Marilyn Wolbert, a designer and engineer here at Awesome. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And joining the two of us is the well-known analyst and leaker, Max Weinbach. Max, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
thanks for joining us tonight. So I guess because the show is all about how Apple is telling us that they're protecting our privacy, I would like to begin with words straight from Apple's privacy homepage. So what they say is, this is how we protect your privacy. And I'm quoting directly here. We're committed to keeping your personal information safe. That's why we innovate ways to safeguard your privacy on your device, why we're upfront about how we personalize your experience, and why we equip developers with the best tools to protect your data. We build safeguards into our products to protect your privacy. Your personal data should always be protected on your device and never shared without your permission. So we build encryption, on-device intelligence, and other tools into our products to let you share what you want on your terms. So that sounds lovely. Max, I would love your thoughts on, is Apple actually doing this, or is this kind of privacy glossing over what is actually going on behind the scenes?
I think Apple's one of the very few companies that does exactly what they say to the word. And sometimes that's a little vague on their point. Sometimes it's not. It really depends on what they're saying. When it comes to on-device processing, sure, they're probably using federated learning and all this stuff. But that doesn't mean they're not doing analytics, and it doesn't mean they're not tracking. It just means a lot of it's being processed on there. I think they're being upfront, just very specific.
Yeah, and I think, too, what they're talking about is on device, right? Like, so maybe you have control over what's being shared with third-party apps, their privacy report cards in the apps and what they're collecting and what's being shared. But how much control do you have with what Apple is seeing when it's on your device?
Yeah, I think Apple, the privacy report cards were great. That was a great step. I know Android got into it. But Apple, I think they claim that they don't have access to anything, which I think is true, but it's that claim and also iCloud backups. Because sure, they probably can't access your phone. You can go to Israel and have some defense agency find some zero day and get into your iPhone if you need to. But in terms of like the data on there, a backup is almost just as good. It's essentially a clone. And while they claim to not have access to it, we saw advanced protection just come in, and that claims to add a second authentication, second piece of encryption on top of backups, which to me seemed to imply that there might have been some way they could get into it beforehand, that maybe they weren't totally, you know, clear about.
That's really interesting. And I think, again, that goes to show with, I think it's a user's perception of what is going on with their information and what Apple's doing with that information, and then maybe what is actually happening behind the scenes that, I mean, quite frankly, maybe many users don't care about, but I think that users that do care about their privacy and are picking iOS products because they do purport to have a higher level of security and privacy do care about and might find it at least uncomfortable that that's happening.
Yeah, and I think there's some settings that you might be able to tweak here and there that may limit that tracking, but that's not always foolproof. I mean, we saw a few years ago, there was Siri had access to a bunch of different logs, and Apple has access to different call logs with them being uploaded and saved to different data centers. There's a lot of stuff going on that's a little bit, but, you know, not really thinking about it.
I can show.
And sorry, actually, speaking
a terrible
of the
hot word.
Oh, no worries. It's actually kind of funny. Google, is it Google? They're listening to our
no,
conversation.
No, Apple.
About
it was Siri.
Oh, see?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Speaking of default privacy settings, there was just a study that came out that got a little bit of public attention that came out of Finland that found that the privacy configurations of many default apps that are on your Apple system, their privacy settings don't always match up with the ways that users imagine or expect them to in terms of their privacy configurations. And on top of that, then it's harder for a user to know where to go in order to change those settings. Marilyn, you were actually an engineer at Apple. So tell me a little bit about your experience working there.
Yeah, so I was an engineer on the Mac team for about a year, a couple years ago. And while I don't know a whole lot about personal privacy on the phones, because I worked in hardware, I did product design, so I wasn't really hands-on with any of that stuff, there is a lot of internal privacy that goes on even within the orgs. For example, I got to work on a project that was pretty intentional about including all the different cross-functional teams on the same product. So everybody knew the entirety of the product, but otherwise in the Mac team, people work on products without knowing what the product is. For example, MacBook, there are engineers that work on the trackpad the entire time they work on the MacBook, but don't know what it interfaces to. And so it kind of adds this extra layer of privacy even within the company that prevents data leaks and prevents product leaks because people don't really know exactly what they're working on. They're just kind of given the parameters of what they can work within. And so that kind of shows how far Apple will go to protect that privacy. But it's just very interesting, the dichotomy between what I worked on, which is kind of full-fleshed idea, full product, and what almost everybody else in product design is working on at Apple.
So Apple was, it sounds like, was pretty good at protecting the privacy of their products from their own staff.
Yes. Yeah. Even whenever I was, so I was an intern there, and my first few months, I was completely hidden from an entire component to the product I was working on. And I even went to China to help with production, and they kept me from different parts of the assembly line that had this component that I wasn't supposed to know about. Turns out it was the SoC, the first SoC that Apple put out. But at the time, I didn't even know what an SoC was. So honestly, they weren't protecting anyone from anything. But very interesting, the lengths that they'll go to like keep specific people away from specific components while things are being put. It was a little hectic, but I didn't even realize how hectic it was until afterwards.
Max, have you ever gotten any leaks about Apple products?
Quite a few. It always came with a nice little message from my sources there being like, global security is going to hate this, or you're going to be mentioned in the next meeting sometime. And it was always really funny because I know they try really hard. I have a few friends that worked at Apple, and they're saying they would go to like just house parties with Apple employees on the weekends, and no one would want to like be comfortable speaking to each other because they didn't want to accidentally say something about what they're working on. So it ended up being like awkward things. He worked at Intel at the time.
Oh, that's awful.
So he was like, yeah, you talk about anything, but Apple was just always, you know, silent and just trying to make awkward small talk.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even other Apple employees didn't want to talk to each other either.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't talk to each other. They would just, because no one wanted to discuss what they were working on. Couldn't. Mm-hmm. You get in trouble.
Yeah, it happens like within the org too. So it's lucky to have enough people on your team that you can discuss work with. For me, I only had two other people, and those are the only two people I could talk to about what we were working on. So
is that, do they keep it close hold with every design element of every product, or is it just the biggest products?
It's most products. I was working on the Mac Mini, which at the time was a very small product. And so I really didn't need to be held away from the rest of the product. It would have been so difficult. And not that many changes were happening between the last generation. But like all the new MacBooks, all the new Mac computers, it's really hectic because everybody's working on something separate. And I just can't imagine how difficult the integration processes are because people don't know what the person next to them is working on. So,
wow. All right, so I think this is a question for Max. So one of the things Apple is facing is antitrust accusations regarding its messaging, literally how it handles customer messages and iMessage, not marketing. Though the company claims privacy is a core value, every communication through iMessage with an Android user or without data happens over insecure SMS, hardly private. Why is that? What do you think could be handled better here?
So a lot of that comes down to the future with RCS, right? SMS is a 20-something-year-old standard. It's still what we have. We have MMS and SMS, and they both are unencrypted, goes through carrier data centers and whatnot. And right now, with universal RCS universal profile, how it is, it's still not encrypted. There still is no end-to-end encryption. The only version of it is a layer on top of it that Google used Signal Protocol for. But as universal standard, universal profile is now, there is no encryption. That universal profile more or less needs to support it. And as soon as you get that, you get a little bit more modern messaging. But Apple's already said they're going to support RCS. Now it's just RCS as a standard to catch up to what's modern. Because even that's still behind. And that was, you know, it's been out for a few years. But it hasn't been updated. Universal profile hasn't been updated since 2019. It's been like 5-6 years at this point. So it's still, even that's lacking behind. It's just you're going to different carriers, different manufacturers, and trying to get everyone together. It takes a really long time.
Yeah, which isn't really privacy focused, to say the least.
No, it's not. It was meant to get from point A to point B, give carriers a little bit of control, but modernize messaging. And privacy was an afterthought because carriers don't want there to be privacy. It is, they want to be able to skim texts and figure out whatever they can.
Yeah, I think that's actually, maybe in certain channels it's a well-known secret, but I don't think that the average person realizes how much information the carriers are picking up from their devices.
Yeah. I mean, they get everything, your location, every phone call you're making, duration of them, every text, essentially your entire life.
Yep. Marilyn, you worked at Apple, and Max, you've leaked Apple products and details in the past, as well as details from other companies. Do you think that the company's approach to privacy, which we talked about a little bit, that they're very forceful about privacy when it comes to their own products, do you think that when they try to market those products, does it behave differently? Does it? I mean, I guess I read the privacy policy, right? Like, privacy is important to them. But do you think that they want to project the image of being insulated from some of the potential leaks that could happen within their products pipeline?
I think they do a really good job. I mean, there obviously have been leaks, but a really good job of safeguarding those leaks. I mean, another thing, when I worked there, the reason I worked there so long as an intern is because they keep people on until the project is out so that nobody on the project can leak it. And you sign an NDA, and the NDA is pretty thorough. There's different components to it that, you know, part of the NDA is you can't speak about Apple on behalf of Apple because that's considered a spokesperson for the company, even though you're an employee. And there's kind of different ways that they safeguard these leaks. I know that they're, and maybe this is a tangent, but there was a recent leak on a lot of the new chip-related things coming out for Apple, and I've heard that a lot of those leaks are also wrong. And so those names that they leaked are not always correct, and the leaks aren't always correct. And I think Apple does a good job of hiding everything. And I think, for, in my opinion, it suits their business model, right? Because they kind of market themselves as more of like an elite product, a more like ID-friendly product, and they kind of go out of their way to make their niche like that, which is a lot different than Android.
Max, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say they do it because a lot of what goes into the hype around Apple products is their events. If you leak everything, there's no reason to watch the event. So it's part of the sales pitch for the devices is, you know, here's a cool 30-minute, two-hour event where we're going to show off everything in an exciting way. If you know it, it's not exciting, that probably and very likely does just destroy sales, at least day one out of the gate.
I do have to say, one of my, I do use an Apple device, not going to lie. But one of my favorite party tricks is to go and show people how to turn off location tracking on their phone, not just for the Apple products, but for all their other devices. Because it's amazing how many different apps have location tracking on by default, even ones that have really no reason to use them. But to the point of that article that just came out, it's not as intuitive as so many Apple products are. It's actually amazing how unintuitive it is to properly set up your device to protect your privacy. Marilyn, any more thoughts on internal privacy at Apple?
Yeah. So one other thing I forgot to mention earlier is something that changed internally at Apple is how the employees message each other. When I was working there, we used iMessage for everything, for all of our work-related chats and employee-related chats. And now they've locked down on that, and you can only use internal Apple corporate apps to message or contact each other, to take pictures, to do anything like that. It's all Apple internal that's guarded by Apple security within the corporation. So I can't use, whenever I was working there, I couldn't even use my photo app to take pictures of work-related things. I had to use an Apple-specific photo app within the company, which is also, it makes sense, right? I think iMessage also not super secure. I've heard a lot of complaints from people that work there now about how annoying it is to not use iMessage, but it's just additional safeguards for everybody working there just to keep everything safe.
Which, I mean, on one hand, you can understand, right? Like, they're protecting trade secrets. And to Max's point, if everything was leaked before it became publicly known, then nobody would watch the big releases. But yes, it does sound pretty onerous to work there. I can't get the picture in my mind of an Apple party with nobody talking to each other.
It's crazy how much you can talk about work without talking about anything you do for work. So...
Well, I guess you talk about the people, right?
Yeah. Well, when I was working there, we just talked about how stressful it was to work so much. So.
And then you don't even have fun parties to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
Marilyn, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you come again.
Thanks for having me.
And Max, you too. Thanks. And you're welcome to join us anytime.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, have a good one.